Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, welcome, one and all, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Today is the Michigan primary for both the Democrats and the Republicans, right? Yep. Yeah, so before we tape this around 6 o'clock before the polls close, so we don't know the results. Nikki Haley, win or lose, keep doing whatever it is you think that is. Fascinating to watch. But there's one interesting wrinkle that the pundocracy is watching tonight involving Michigan's large Arab American population. You see, due to their broad disapproval of how Joe Biden has supported Israel's actions in Gaza, a coalition of Arab American and Muslim leaders are urging Democrats to vote uncommitted in the primary as a form of protest. And it's very important. This is a peaceful protest. They're angry, but they're not going to do something insane and destructive like vote for Dean Phillips. And apparently, the Biden administration is optimistic about a ceasefire deal soon. The odd thing is how we found out about it. Last night, Biden appeared on Late Night with Seth Meyers. And I, for one, am so happy for my dear friend Seth that he had the president on his show, even though we have invited him here to the Ed Sullivan Theater. And I do not... Is he over there? I don't see him. He's not here, and he's not with you. Keep looking, you know? Maybe he's lost. He is so very, very old. See what you made me do, Joe? You see, hurt people hurt people. Anyway, so the president not only sat down for an interview with my former friend Seth, but they went out to an ice cream shop where a reporter asked the president this.
Can you give us a sense of when you think that ceasefire will start, sir?
Well, I hope by the beginning of the weekend. I mean, the end of the weekend. At least my national security advisor tells me that we're close. We're close. It's not done yet. And my hope is by next Monday, we'll have a ceasefire.
That's a very statesmanlike response and a reason to kindle hope. If he hadn't said it directly into a scoop of mint chip. It's time to bring peace to a region that has known far too much. Tragedy. Of course, diplomacy has always gone great with dessert. Even at the Yalta conference, they had a chocolate fountain. What I love most about this is how awkward this moment is for Seth Meyers. Just, mwah. Oh, fantastic. Is that great? I feel you, Seth. This is why you have to be careful about inviting reporters to watch you film with your guests. You don't want to answer serious questions during a goofy segment. That's why Seinfeld stopped doing comedians in cars discussing Afghanistan. Now, here in New York, is this also in New York? This is also in New York. Here in New York, Trump has way bigger problems than ice cream cones. He's got about 30 days to raise nearly $500 million. To pay his fraud judgments. But there's a more immediate threat because a jury also ordered him to pay $83.3 million for defaming E. Jean Carroll. And in order to stop her from collecting immediately, Trump has to post 110% of the amount in a cash bond of $91 million by March 9th. You know the old saying, March comes in like a lion and goes out like a bankrupt sexual predator. Hey, Trump's team he's tried some unusual legal maneuvering to postpone him having to cough up the cash. For instance, they said that he shouldn't have to pay because the judgment was likely to be overturned due to the fact that their client's behavior was not uniquely egregious. You can't get away with a crime just because it wasn't unique. You never hear a jury say, we find the defendant derivative. Really? A victim's head in a box? Please, is it 1995? Boring. But their craziest argument is that Trump shouldn't have to post a bond at all because he's too rich. You can't argue with that logic.
Also, Your Honor, I shouldn't have to go to jail because I'm too guilty.
I don't think... People are noticing, by the way. People are noticing. Spoiler alert, the judge said no to both arguments after he stopped laughing. Speaking of Trump's crimes, we're learning more about former Trump attorney and defendant who just sent a cocktail to the stenographer, Kenneth Cheesebro. Cheesebro is the mastermind of the fake elector scheme to overthrow the 2020 election. But last year, Cheesebro pleaded guilty in Georgia and has been cooperating with Michigan and Wisconsin investigators in hopes of avoiding more criminal charges. But it turns out Cheesebro might not escape the cheese grater of justice, because CNN found out that Cheesebro had a secret Twitter account. And that's bad news for him, since while he was under oath, he told prosecutors this.
Do you have any social media presence, Facebook, Instagram,
no,
Twitter?
No, before...
Alternate IDs that you're using for that kind of stuff?
No, I mean, I don't do any tweeting.
That is the sound of someone desperately trying to remove the Twitter app from their phone under the desk. Twitter, no, I don't have no damn face ID, not recognized. Regis, I would like to phone a friend. Now, Cheese Bro's secret account was called Badger Pundit. No, sir. Badger Pundit is not the alias of a Wisconsin-based election denier. Badger Pundit is a new cartoon show I am writing where a badger works at a 24-hour news network for animals that is headquartered in a big tree and is called TreeNN. Their rival network is still Fox News, but with actual foxes. Call me Paramount Plus. Is there still Paramount Plus? Do you still have Paramount Plus? Ooh, there's a huge story from when we were on break that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. The Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are children. Now, this surprised a lot of people and proves beyond a doubt the Republicans do not know what children are. You know, kids. Sure, I know kids. You keep them in a vat of liquid nitrogen at negative 320 degrees. That's why they're called children, not warm-dren. Come on, think, folks. Now, one of the guys... One of the guys behind this decision is a Christian nationalist, Alabama Chief Justice and off-duty Captain Crunch, Tom Parker. Obviously, Judge Parker's ruling is disastrous for people trying to have children through IVF, because it would force parents to pay for lifelong storage fees of embryos they will never be allowed to discard. So people are going to be desperate for cheap storage spots, okay? If you go to your parents' place, do not open that Christmas tin from the popcorn factory. It's your frozen brother. Experts say this ruling would, quote, require embryos to remain in cryogenic storage even after the couple who underwent the IVF treatment have died, and potentially even after the couple's children, grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren have died. That's going to make for some weird family reunions. Parker, say hello to your great-great-grand embryo. I don't care if he smells weird. Give him a kiss. And this is this Alabama ruling is really just the beginning. As of 2023, fetal personhood bills have been introduced in at least 14 state legislatures, and they've already been enacted in Georgia and Missouri. On the bright side, if you're a pregnant woman driving in Missouri, you can now use the carpool lane to drive out of Missouri. Now, Republicans are not going to stop at this. They're not. Carpool lane. People love carpool lane jokes. Republicans are not going to stop at IVF. The next thing on their agenda is birth control. Right after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, Democrats in Congress introduced a bill aimed to ensure access to contraception nationwide, and 195 House Republicans immediately voted against it. You see, religious conservatives approve only the type of sex depicted in the Bible. One man, two of his daughters, and a pillar of salt that likes to watch. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Josh Brolin.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into, for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest tonight is an actor you know from No Country for Old Men, Avengers Endgame, and Dune. He now stars in Dune Part 2.
How many men with you?
200.
200?
Shh.
Do you realize what you were able to achieve with 200 men? Incredible fighters. Duncan said there were millions of them.
In the Deep South, yes.
Well, what are you waiting for? With thousands of these guys, you could take control of the entire planet. It's your father's dream. What are you afraid of?
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Josh Brolin. Nice to see you again.
It's nice to see you too again,
Stephen. In the flesh, in the flesh, because we talk to each other via video fairly often.
Fairly often. I mean, you get back to me once every couple of months. But
I always get back to you. I don't get back to you immediately.
You don't.
But then again,
you got things going on. You got a show.
This is the story is, for the people who don't know, is that you sometimes send me videos any hour, night, or day.
Yeah.
Usually when you're driving back, like from your ranch back to L.A.
Yes, sir.
You got a few hours on your hands, and you go, well, I'll send Colbert a video.
I got a few. When I have nothing going on, I think of you.
Yes. Well, you have time to think about the important things at that moment.
I do.
But I found out last night, and I'm going to sort of break open the time-space continuum here by letting everybody know that I interviewed Rebecca Ferguson, who plays Lady Jessica in Dune,
I know that.
Last night, even though it's not going to be broadcast until next week. And she told me that you send these videos to everybody.
I thought that was special. She never said that.
You're running an OnlyFans out of the front seat of your car.
Stop accusing me of something I didn't do. No, but you know what she did? She texted me last night knowing that you and I communicate.
Well, she told me about that, and we have a clip of how that went down.
Oh, really?
Jim?
Okay.
Really?
Actually, I texted Josh Brolin right before, and I asked
him. Did you?
Yeah, I did. And he said, you like sending weird videos of you fishing. Would you like to talk about this?
No, no. You see, I'm surprised you brought this up because he, a couple years ago now, during COVID, he just cold videoed me. He just sent me a video of him driving back from some mountain that he goes to.
I know what's happening here. You're digging.
What's happening? He's just driving. No, but he sends me videos, long, rambling, heartfelt videos.
Oh, no, poetry.
About how he's feeling.
I know.
Has
I'm
he sent
busy.
You semi-nude videos from his steam room?
No, I'm friends
he
with his
He sent me
wife.
Those. If you can go get my phone, I'm not lying. I have videos of him shirtless in a steam room.
Okay. Don't play it. Play it. Can you see that? Wait, there's sound.
Answer for yourself. Answer. Super Bowl ratings,
let me just show you something really quick.
Sure.
I know this has no sound on it or anything. Can you hold it up? Just hold
sure,
up.
This is what I sent
what
him
I
back.
Back.
That's what I sent him
so
back.
Get on that.
I just sent him. It's just me and my boat,
like,
you know?
Like, first of all, look at how small the boat is, because obviously you're not getting paid very well and you need to, like... I mean, that literally the boat looks like it's going to sink at any minute. So I send you...
That's the boat I'm driving to my boat.
Whatever. I don't believe you.
You don't know how us guys do with our boats?
I send you intimate, beautiful, like, you know, videos of myself, and then you send me...
I'm not as comfortable shirtless.
You're not as, well.
My wife laughs at me whenever I send a video back to you, because if she's around to hear me recording it, she's like, why do you talk that way when you send a, that's not what you sound like. You're trying to sound
cool.
But you
know what? I
always say like, hey, hit me back. I never say like, hit me back. But you're like, you're only doing that because it's Josh Brolin. You think you have to be cool for Josh Brolin.
It looks like that should be a selfie video,
yes.
But you did it in a way that I suddenly realized that somebody else was filming it, which is your wife, I assume?
No, it's my friend Chip Hill, one of my oldest friends in the world.
Oh, that's
that
weird in
He's
itself.
He's my fishing
but anyway.
Friend. He's my fishing friend. Okay, speaking of
But the
friends,
fact that you go like this, you're like, hit me up, Kemosabe.
I didn't say Kemosabe.
Something like that. I
said,
know.
Hit me back,
You're about
Jack. Was I too cool
You're
for you?
You're my favorite uncool guy.
Thank you. So I also want to thank you for inviting me to the U.S. premiere of Dune on Sunday night.
Yes.
Love Dune. Love Dune 1. Love Dune 2. It's an amazing film, especially
You're a lover of the book. I mean, truly.
Lover of the book, but, you know, you can love the book and not love the movie.
That's true.
You can
be disappointed. Well, most times you don't.
Exactly. No, but I absolutely love it. Denis Villeneuve has done a Villeneuve.
That was very good. You tried hard.
Denis Villeneuve. Nuve like shove.
Villeneuve.
No, not Nuve. It's Nuve like shove. I'm going to...
Dude, he's my friend.
Denis.
He's not your friend.
Denis. Hold on. Denis. Is he here? Is Denis here? Get him out here. Okay.
We'll be right back with Stephen Colbert. We got a great show for you tonight. I just wanted to feel what it was like to be uncool.
Yep. Wow.
What a dick.
Is this coffee or water?
That's water. You got...
Oh, my God. No. I'm sorry. That wasn't nice.
Being here more than I like being at home.
Well, it's always wonderful to have you. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't want to drink that. My fingers ruined.
I know.
I'll take care of that.
I there saw you go. Put that stuff on
there
it.
There you go. Anyway, hold on. So hold on.
Maybe you're okay. Thanks, buddy.
Denis, please. Well, Denis Villeneuve, everybody.
Denis.
Thank you. Please have a seat for just a moment. Please sit for just a moment.
My two buddies, what's up?
Denis.
First.
Yes, sir.
It's like I debated with myself for a very long time. Should I change my name for something like Ray Laser or something like that people could actually understand here?
Ray Laser?
Dennis Smith.
Yes.
It's just that, seriously, it's Denis Villeneuve, like Catherine Deneuve.
Did I get it right? Neuve.
You did, actually, and you're not bad.
It's not Villeneuve like voila, voila. Shove. It's Villeneuve.
No, Villeneuve is good.
Villeneuve.
Good.
Denis Villeneuve.
Yes.
Who
just,
says your name better?
He just changed it for
say,
you.
Say his name.
Villeneuve. Denis Villeneuve.
Denis Villeneuve.
That's it. That's
who said it better?
You just copied me. Actually, he's starting to get
better.
He's starting to get better. Did you hear that? He's starting to get better.
I regret inviting you out here.
Sorry,
okay.
I can go.
Denis Villeneuve, everybody, he'll be back.
Yay!
An honor. Would you please come back tomorrow? Thank you. We have to take a quick break, Mr. Brolin.
What?
But don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Josh Brolin, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, everybody, we're back with one of the stars of Dune Part 2, Mr. Josh Brolin. It's hard to give a synopsis of this great movie, but you did an amazing job. People have called this one of the greatest descriptions of any movie of all time. You posted this to the Grams, right? This is your Instagram right there. If you would you mind reading your description of this film? Do you not have a?
No,
do you not
I have? I do.
Because I could do my I could do my Josh Brolin impression.
Don't. Do you want to read it?
No, you read it.
No, please. No, okay,
please.
All right. It's kind of funnier if you read it. Okay, this is what I wrote. I don't know where it came from. This was probably from in the sauna naked also, so.
The heat does get to the brain.
The heat does get to the brain.
So this is Josh Brolin's description of Dune 2.
Dune 2 release in less than 2 weeks. Robot Lady and Wonka fall in love. Then Elvis tries to f*** it all up with his while his bad dad floats in a pool of pond scum. The WWE dude from Guardians gets super pissed while Midsummer Hottie puts the eyes on Wonka Obi-Wan just after his mom gets caught taking LSD in a sandy bathroom. Shigure from No Country still doesn't like the guy from the Goonies. I mean, who doesn't want to see that on IMAX? The pandemic as we knew it is over. Strikes have come and gone. And it's time to commune again and experience that amazing feeling of when the lights go down, you have your hand deep in your popcorn worm, and Dune 2 consumes you.
I do sincerely enjoy getting your messages via video because, as I said, are heartfelt. They're really lovely.
You said rambling and then heartfelt, but it's the same. I know it they has can this be, kind of they, double
connotation. Those aren't mutually exclusive.
No, they're not. I agree.
For instance, this question is quite rambling at this point.
It is.
But it's also heartfelt.
Yes.
But you're also a poet, as we have all learned. No, you are. You write poetry. You are a poet. Don't shirk off the responsibility of your art.
Okay.
And you have, along with the, who's the DP who did this with you?
Greg Fraser. Who won an Academy Award for Dune 1.
Okay. And this is a book of photography and poetry from Dune.
And
beautiful.
Prose.
And prose. Okay.
All right.
Okay. And there's like a lovely picture of our guest tonight right there. There he is as Gurney Halleck. May I read this poem? This is after a day of shooting, one imagines.
Yes.
This day will soon dim as the sculpted sand exhales softly into night.
Dude.
What?
No.
Did I ruin it?
No. And you don't need...
It's beautiful, though. It's beautiful.
I love the way that you did it. Like, I would love to write... That's a haiku. Do you remember when you were a kid?
575,
you used to write
575. Yeah.
Like, we should write a haiku about you right now.
Can you do it that fast?
Maybe.
Okay.
Stephen Colbert Show, best host in the biz? No. Best host in the biz? No.
Best host in
this
the biz.
This is brown nosing.
That's 555.
I know. I had the seven
best
there somewhere.
Best host in television.
There we go.
Now, but I said that about myself. You made
that was
me seem
really
like an
good.
Ass.
No. It's not. You're not in it. You totally regressed with me. By the way, there's something back here that I want to give you. And Denise's partner, Tanya Lapointe, did this book that's not out yet. So nobody has this book.
What?
I've seen the book, but this one is for you, which is
a genius
book.
The
that she designed.
And soul. Of Dune Part 2. Absolutely beautiful design. So you've done two books. Yeah. Now, are you going to do more?
No. I mean, is there going to be another Dune? Do you know something?
No, just you about anything you want.
No, it doesn't have to
be about Dune. Not everything is Dune.
Okay. There is. I wrote it. They call it an unconventional memoir that comes out in November.
So they? Who is this they?
HarperCollins.
Okay. The publishers, okay.
The publishers.
Your life?
No.
That's a memoir.
Yeah, that's why I say unconventional. Because there's
some
stuff.
Is it fiction?
It's kind of like a series of videos that I'm sending you. That's what
so
it would
rambling
be.
And heartfelt.
Rambling and heartfelt. Very good. Yeah.
But is it really? It's not about your life, or is
no,
it semi-autobiographical?
It's semi-autobiographical.
Do you talk about other people too?
I do, and there's some fiction in there, and there's some prose in there, and there's some poetry, and there's some dialogues in there, there's some observations in there. So it's all over the place.
You know, I hope I can interview you when that book
for
comes
book?
Out.
I would love that.
I interviewed your stepmom. Barbara Streisand.
You did. Who wrote,
for her
by
book.
The way, a 1,000-page memoir.
1,000-page memoir, exactly.
My memoir is going to be 5,000 pages.
Very important, because
five
that
times,
sounds like a good book.
It
that
is.
Sounds like five times,
five times
as
better.
Good a book.
Five times better.
Did you watch?
No, because she told me. I said, your memoir is coming out. Because she was always talking about her book when I was yeah. talking to her. And she's like, well, my book, my memory, my book. And then I said, how long is the book? She said, 1,000 pages. I was like, wow. So I wrote 5,000 pages.
We have to take another break here, but don't go away. Josh Brolin will be here when we get back.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
We're going to strap you to that chair, Brolin.
Brolin is here for the 900th time.
We're back. And he's clearly so eager to stay. We're back with one of the stars of Dune Part 2, Josh Brolin. One thing that I got very excited to see you do in Dune 2 is we talked about this the last time you were here to talk about Dune was the, is it the Basilette? The Basilette?
The Balisette.
The Balisette. The Balisette. And this is a Balisette is a instrument that was made up by Frank Herbert that is played by your character, Gurney Halleck. Very difficult, multi-stringed instrument.
16 strings.
16 strings. And here is an image of what that imagined instrument looks like, which you play in the movie. Spoiler alert.
You play. No, I pretend.
That's not you playing it?
No, it is me playing it. But what you're hearing is Hans Zimmer's music to what he put to that.
Oh,
what I
okay.
played sounds like this.
And you are good.
No, but
wow, I've never heard a Balisette played so well.
It was very sweet. When you start writing things that people start, you know, talking about, and then Denis came to me and he said, will you write the song? I want you to write the song. Because we had
really
done
lovely.
A song for Dune 1. It didn't stay in the movie. It was tonally wrong. Maybe I was tonally wrong. Whatever. It just didn't work for the movie. So he said, I want you to write the lyrics, and I want you to collaborate with Hans Zimmer. And you're like, I'm going to collaborate with Hans Zimmer. So I started writing furiously lyrics, and I'd send them to Hans Zimmer, who was vacationing at the time, and then he would send me back, like, pictures of, you know, icebergs and stuff. And I would be like, you got to focus, brother. You got
to. Well, did you get to keep this?
No, I didn't ask for, and I never do. Like, I did the Thanos thing and the glove, and I should have kept the glove.
Did you wish you could keep this?
Maybe.
Why, maybe?
I mean,
now,
it's amazing. And what they created, and Denis and all that, and what they created is incredible. One guy asked me, and of course it was in L.A., that one guy asked me if I'd learned how to play the Balisette before I got the movie, or did I have to learn after I got the movie? The guy obviously hadn't done his research.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
I said, it's a fictional instrument, bro.
Did you say bro? Did you say bro?
No, honestly, well, you got to accentuate it with bro.
Sure.
Honestly, what I said...
Did you say hit me back, bro?
I did. I said my dad had played it. Honestly, this was my honest answer.
You said the James
I role? Swear to God, because I was so blown away that he actually asked the question. I said, it's so funny you should ask that. My dad played when he was young, but he was never very good at it. You know how parents push things on their kids that they're not very good at, and they want their kids to become yes. it. So he forced it on me when I was 4 and a half. So by the time I got this movie at 53, I had my 10,000 hours in, and I was super good at it.
Well, I just wanted you to know, in case you did want it,
yeah.
that this is true.
Seriously?
Denis told me that you can have it. He's giving it to you.
Seriously? As a gift from him?
I would.
Via you?
No, it's going to come from him, but...
I know, but via you right now.
He told me to tell you.
I would take it with honor. I would be honored to have that at home.
He'll take it! Nice to see you.
Love you.
Don't stop the videos.
Love you, Kimo Sabe.
All right, Chief. Dune Part 2 is in theaters on Friday. The man is Josh Brolin, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.